And for now, we're just going to read verses 9 through 11. I'll refer to a few other scriptures along the way. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll read 3 verses 9 through 11. Let's stand as we do so for the reading of the Word of God. We'll read responsively. You'll take verse 9, I'll take 9, you take 10, and so forth. And we'll read verse 11 together. For we are laborers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, Heavenly Father, we do love you. We thank you for your love to us. We thank you for this time, Lord. I pray, God, that you fill me, fill your servant as I preach, Father. I pray, God, that everything that is said tonight will be for your glory. God, I pray that you just open hearts of our dear people here tonight. We love you, God. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think I'm on. I'm going to entitle this message, Let Every Man Take Heed How He Buildeth Thereupon. I'm going to read a few scriptures here, and I'll refer to a back and forth a little bit. I'm going to turn back to Acts chapter 18 and read a few scriptures. It's the start of the church at Corinth, Acts chapter 18. I'm just going to read a few along the way, and you just follow me, and I want to try to build a foundation. I'm going to need a good hearing tonight. I was just debating. God just kind of showed me a couple different things here this week, and I wasn't quite sure exactly what to preach tonight. I mean, I just kind of was tugged to and fro a little bit. So the two thoughts that I had, I'm going to preach them both, and we'll plan on being out of here about 9:30. I'm just kidding. Some of you looked at me like, what? No, I'm just kidding. All right? It's all right. But, you know, the Bible says Acts chapter 18, here's Paul at Corinth. And verse number 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Now Paul, you know, he is starting or founding the church at Corinth. And yes, he faced some opposition here. So the Jews didn't want to hear him, so he says, okay, you want to do what you want to do, your blood be upon your heads, I'm going to go ahead and go preach to the Gentiles, if you will. Verse 7, and he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, and whose house joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. So right here's the starting of the church. Few people, obviously God was blessing here. The Corinthians, many of the Corinthians, the Bible says, heard, they believed, they were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in a vision by a vision, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. So here's Paul, the man of God, if you will. I think, you know, obviously he might maybe had a little fear. Be not afraid. The Bible says, God says, be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace. Don't refrain from preaching the word, Paul. Okay, don't be afraid of their faces, if you will. Don't be afraid of taking a stand. For I am with thee, and no man will hurt thee, if you will. I have much people in this city. There's people here that we need to reach. Paul, I'm using you as that vessel to reach them. You know, I kind of got thinking about Carver and our area here. We have people we need to reach. We must not be scared of our stand or worried about our stand. We must not be fearful for taking a stand on the Word of God, the King James. We must not be fearful about the music that we play. We must not be fearful about being what God wants us to be. We're not going to get hurt by it. There's a lot of people that need to go ahead and hear what we hear, what we have here. Now, you know, listen, I know that soul winning can be a very scary thing. It can be. I mean, it can be. You know, you're just not knowing what's behind that door. Amen. You know, and the truth of the matter is I'm not boasting here, but I'm not afraid of any door. Okay, I'm just not. Regardless, you know, sometimes you can hear things, you know, the music and shouting and screaming and cursing and all that. But you know what? The Bible says go, okay? And truth of the matter is, them are the kind of doors that really need what I got. Sometimes it's amazing how revival would break through from time to time. It's amazing how the Lord would settle that down and that household would get saved. As you can read through the book of Acts, you know, here was Justice, or was it Crispus, I think, his house, you know, they were a saved house, if you will. But soul winning can be scary. You know, we need to step out. And the Bible says, go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. You know, we're commanded to go out and go. And boy, I just was thinking about a church as I read this. This is not the message, but if it was, it'd be good, okay? And he continued. So Paul, in Corinth, he was there for a year and a half, and he continued there a year and 6 months teaching the word of God among them. Now, we're going to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'm going to read, well, let me go to 1 a minute here. You know, the church at Corinth was a problem church. It was a troubled church. You know, here you will read in the scripture in verse number, chapter 1, verse 10. Now I beseech you, here's Paul writing to the church. And I believe this church is very close and dear to Paul. Okay? Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye shall speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Several weeks ago, I preached in one accord. You know, if we're going to go ahead and do something great for God, which I believe God wants to do something great, by numbers, I don't know, but he wants us to remain faithful and strong and true. Yes, and we'll face opposition. We'll face heartache. We'll face trials together as a church. But you know what? If we're going to go forward for Christ, we need to be of one mind. We need to go ahead and be of on the same page. We need to be, so to speak, singing the same tune, if you will. He was telling this church, charging this church, be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's where strength comes. You know, that's where the strength is going. If we're going to go ahead and grow, if we're going to go ahead and be what God wants us to be as a church, you know, there's a lot of strength in being in one mind. You know, there really is. I mean, when, you know, and I thank God, you know, me being here, I've been here 10 weeks today as far as pastoring. And it's been the joy of my life, as I mentioned a few moments ago. But the truth of the matter is, you know, and early on, I wanted to keep this thing. You know, obviously, it was nipped in the bud. I mean, somewhere along the way, and I say this, and not to lift ourselves up, so to speak, but I thank God I came to a unified church. I thank God that you've already learned the principle that the ground is level for the cross. Anybody, you know, we're to love one another. I'm glad that you knew that. I've got horror stories of preachers that different things happen when they first land. But I thank God for that. And that if it's one thing, you know, just like I read that letter a moment ago, that's the kind of church we ought to be building. That's the kind of church that we ought to have here. You know, here people out of town, they come and they felt comfortable here. Why? Because there's a good spirit. You know, I mean, we ought not be the kind of church where we come in and, you know, because someone supposedly said a word or whatever, you go sit on this side, you go sit this side, when handshaking, you kind of dodge everybody. Hey, the truth about that ought not be. That's not even Christ-like. But we ought to be loving one another. I'm going to keep hitting that. And if we grow and grow and grow, yes, we have many different people here. We have many different minds here. We have many different class of people, you know, lower to middle to upper class. We have many, many different people here. But the truth of the matter is none of us are any better than anybody else here, your pastor included. God just happened to put me here to lead you and love you and preach to you and give you all that I got. And I'll give you every single bit that I got. But the truth of the matter is none of us are any better than anybody else. We ought not be a stuffed shirt kind of church where we come in and people feel, oh, it's very, you know, people just kind of high and mighty. No, we ought not be that way. No, we shouldn't be that way. Christ wasn't like that. Christ, hey, I preached it last Sunday night. Christ went about reaching all the people, if you remember. He had compassion upon all. But here in the book of, in this book, you know, obviously this church here, there was some divisions. Verse number 11, for it hath been declared unto me of you by my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. In this church, you know, there was some problems, if you will. There was some contentions, if you will. Perhaps if you took a knife, you could go ahead and cut the air with a knife, if you will. That was the kind of church. And that's not what Paul had in mind when he started the church. That's not at all what he had in mind. So verse chapter number 3, of course, it talks in number, I'm just kind of going forward with my illustration, then I'll get right down to the heart of what I want to preach on tonight. Do I hear an echo? Do I hear something, I don't know if that can be fixed or not, but I hear something. I don't know whether it's this, if testing 1, 2, all right, okay, all right. Verse number 3, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying, okay, there was jealousy there. We know that there was strife and divisions. Are you not carnal? There was carnal Christians there, people that hadn't grown. They were saved but not separated. Not a bad church, if you will. They were preaching the gospel, if you will. Of course, Apollos here was the pastor, and Paul started it, and then Apollos came in and pastored the church, if you will. This is a good church, but people were saved. They were not separated. Problems lingered in the church. Paul was instructing them about their need of Christian growth. And you need to put away your petty sins and differences and grow, and don't let strife or sin keep you from being what God wants you to be. You know, he came and he started the church, and he was the pastor, Apollos. And, you know, he was just, I think, in essence saying, you need to get behind the man of God, and you need to go ahead and lift up the word of God, and you need to do and be what God wants you to be. He was telling them, these people, some things. Let me go through a few things here. Number one, he was telling, we are in the middle of God's building program. Okay, let's look down to verse number 9, okay? I'm just moving forward. Then I want to get to my illustration and a few different things here. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. That word husbandry is a farming term. Someone has come in, if you will, and cultivated some things, the word of God in your life, okay? And you ought to be allowing the word of God to be cultivated in your life so that you may grow and grow and grow, become stronger and stronger. And the Bible also says, ye are God's building. Okay, we know the famous verse, and I'm going to refer to it later, but I'm going to read it just because it fits right now. But the Bible says in first, just a few pages away, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Ye are of God, and ye are not your own. Same thing, ye are God's building. You belong to God. The Bible says just a page or two across here, you are not your own, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Bottom line, you're saved tonight. You're God's. Hey, whether you're saved or not, you are God's. God created you. He breathed life into you. We belong to God. So, church at Corinth, you are in the middle, if you will, of God's building program. We are God's building. Jesus is the foundation. Number 11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In verse number 10, I'll go back. I'm jump back and forth, but follow me. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation. So, Paul, he came in, he laid the foundation. Hey, you know what? I presented Jesus to you. You accepted it. Now we need to go forward with Jesus. We need to go ahead and grow for Jesus. We need to be what God wants to be. Another buildeth thereupon. Apollos was left to go ahead and teach and preach the word of God so that you may become stronger. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon, the title of my message. So we are in the middle, if you will, of God's building program. We need to let God have his way with you. You need to allow God to be number one. And I've said it a million times more. You need to let God be number one in your life. You need to allow him to have his will and way in your life. Jesus is that foundation. Paul presented the foundation. You came to know Christ, and Christ wants more from us than to just be saved, if you will. You know, this is how, you know, that's why discipleship is important. Okay, you know, there's more than just being saved. There's so much more blessing that comes from being saved, if you will. You know, and unfortunately, when we go ahead and win people to Christ, and that's not an unfortunate thing, but sometimes that's where we stop. That's why it is important, and this is where some of our breakdown may be in the church today. And you know what? I'll be the first to admit it. Sometimes I'm guilty of it. Sometimes we, independent Bible-believing fundamentalists, yes, we want all the world to be saved. That's very, very important. But we fail to go ahead and write down the names, and we fail to go ahead and go back, if you will. And I'm somewhat guilty of that myself. Okay, you're preaching. I'm admitting it. And I'll come to the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. And I know that that's wrong. The truth of the matter is we need to be discipling those that are saved. We need to see, do our part as mature Christians to help grow them and grow them and grow them so they can be somebody for God, and help them to understand that you are God's. We understand it here tonight. We understand that we belong to God. We are God's building, and we need to go ahead and grow stronger and stronger and stronger and let him build in our life. So there is more to our Christian life than to just be saved. We need to grow thereby through the word of God. The Bible says, and grow in the knowledge and grace of our Father. I'm sorry, I lost the verse, but the Bible teaches us, bottom line. It just left my mind, but the Bible teaches us that we must grow. You know, No wonder, you know, even some of us that have been saved for a while, we kind of get complacent. You know, we sometimes get to a point, well, I've arrived. Boy, that's dangerous. We should never get to a point where we've arrived and we become somebody. We're nobody, man. God is somebody. And God will go ahead and make a nobody into somebody if you allow him to. But the truth of the matter is, you know what? We ought to be growing. It doesn't matter. You know, I think of some dear folks back in church that I was assistant pastor in for several years. People that have been by the church for years. I can think of some here tonight. But they've been like that pillar, if you will, just a pillar of the church. And for years, they just went ahead and stood strong, and they never wavered. And they, boy, let me tell you something, you young people, let me just stop and say this, you teenagers, you young kids, you see people around here actively involved. You see some of those that's been around a while. You know what? You ought to look up to them. You ought to go ahead and knock down the Michael Jordans and knock down the Paul Pierces and knock down them as idols in your life. But you ought to look up to these people that teach you every Sunday morning. You ought to look up, and I'm not trying to become a God, obviously, but you ought to look up to your preacher. You ought to look up to your youth worker. You ought to look up to your Sunday school teacher because they prayed for you, and they will invest in your life a whole lot more than some Hollywood crowd will, a whole lot more than some sport, some basketball guy will, or some baseball guy will. And you say, Pastor, are you against sports? No, but I'm against putting them number one before God. But we are God's building. Boy, we as mature Christians, if you will, ought to get to a point that we are God's again. Sometimes we'll start backsliding. We'll get to a point where we have arrived. Let me tell you something. You get to that point where you've arrived, you put yourself in a dangerous position, and you get to a point where God will go ahead and you'll just start backsliding. You start doing things that you thought you'd never do because you had arrived. Hey, let me tell you something. Every single day of your life, you ought to be growing. You ought to be growing. Get in the book. The Christian life needs to be built beyond the foundation. Hey, the foundation is there. God has drawn up the plans, the Word of God, the Word of God. He's drawn up the plans for us to go ahead and grow thereby. We need to follow His instructions and none other. And so many people are looking for other methods. So many people are looking for other versions to go ahead. No, you know what? We got the King James Bible, and it's been inspired from right on down through the ages. Thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven, the Bible says. And we need to go ahead and trust that book, and we need to get in that book, and we need to read that book, and we need to present that book to our children and to our Sunday school kids and to our bus kids. We need to be in the book. The Christian life needs to be built beyond the foundation, Jesus. Yes, this is where some people stay, just at that foundation. We need to take heed how we build that building. God gives us a free will. Okay, yes, you can be saved, but He gives us a free will. He doesn't, you know, He doesn't come down, grab you by the nape of the neck and say, you serve me. He doesn't do that. You know, and the truth of the matter is, when we got saved, there ought to be a certain joy there. There ought to be a certain desire that we want to go on for God, that we want to become stronger for God. Hey, the old things are supposed to be passed away there, Christian. The old things are supposed to be gone. Behold, all things have become new, the Bible says. Hey, you know what? We ought to be becoming strong. We ought to be a good testimony to the younger. We ought to be one that can take the Word of God and present this world, this lost and dying world, to Jesus. We ought to be pointing people to Jesus Christ through our testimony. Yes, we need to go tell them, but can they tell it by your walk? Can they tell it by your talk? You know, Mrs. Marlene Evans, the wife for many years of the president of Hiles Aronson College, Dr. Wendell Evans, used to make this statement, had a few of her classes. Your walk talks and your talk talks. Your walk talks louder than your talk talks. You know, it's one thing to go ahead and get up and say, thus saith the Lord. It's one thing to go ahead and come to church every Sunday morning and dress up in your Sunday garb. And that's all good and fine. We ought to look like men, ought to look like men. Ladies ought to look like ladies. They ought to be able to tell it out the world as well. Your walk talks and your talk talks, but people tell whether you're really saved, and people can tell by your testimony if you're really saved. Hey, listen, yeah, you know you're saved, but does your talk tell it? When you go through Walmart, when you go through the mall, can they tell that there's something different about you? I'm not going to, listen, I won't lift up my family, but I'm going to say this. Many, 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 many times, I'll just say this. You could go to a restaurant. I take my family, and people think that's a challenge. Take four kids and a wife. You know, that's a challenge. My wife was the easy one. Amen. Amen. I got to be careful there. I got to be careful there. Misspoke. Hallelujah. Take that part out of the tape. Amen. But But my wife helped me out here this week. Sorry. Didn't mean it that way. I honestly didn't. Oh, God help me. Where was I? No. But you know what? Listen. We'd go to a restaurant, and we'd have our four children, especially when they were younger. And oftentimes, we'd go ahead and someone would just go by and say, you know what? I have never seen such a well-behaved bunch of kids than your children. Now, wait a minute. You say, no, I'm not bragging, please. But you know what? That ought to be kind of an example of who we are. That really ought to be. You know, it didn't matter without where I was. Sit around the table, we'd pray before we ate. Doesn't matter. You know, and the truth of the matter, and was I trying to make a show? No. But you know, I'm trying to teach our kids and raise our kids up in the admonition of the Lord. And people ought to be able to tell. People ought to be able to tell that there's a difference in you by what you listen to, by what you watch, by what you say. Boy, very, very important. We ought to be building that building. You know, I'll give you this. Last year, I think it was, I took like 20 teenagers. Okay? That's 20 teenagers to Olive Garden. Okay? To Olive Garden. Now, I called, made the reservation. I mean, this was just an activity. Took them to Olive Garden. And they had a room. It wasn't a banquet. Just they wanted to go to Olive Garden. Most teenagers like Olive Garden. Amen? Okay. I like Olive Garden anyways, and I'm not even a teenager, but that's okay. All right, but the truth of the matter, we went to Olive Garden. I remember sitting there, and we went in there, and we had this big, long table, about 20 teenagers, plus my wife and I and others and so forth. We had a teen activity. We ate. We conducted ourselves as Christians. I had one couple. I happened to know them. I'm surprised. I mean, we were in Portland. They were just down in Portland doing some shopping. I had one couple come by and say, you know, I remember you. I know your dad. But you know, this is a fine bunch you got here. Teenagers. They didn't go ahead and go cussing and swearing and making all this bunch of noise and acting up and being a bunch of fools. They didn't go ahead and do that. They conducted themselves as Christians. They had a good time, by the way. Also, there was also another couple there. Unbeknownst to us, we didn't know they were going to be there. There was also another couple. They were sitting there. And their child, their teenager, goes to our school. They weren't part of our church, but they go to our school. And I was just going around, as I always did. I'd walk around teenagers and, hey, did you get enough tea? Oh, you want me to order something more for you? Oh, no, Pastor, I'm full. You know, I would just cut up with them. And they called me over and say, you know, Pastor, you are brave. I said, what? I didn't know what she was talking about. You are really brave taking all these kids out like this. I said, no, I love it. It was a whole lot of fun. You know, and it makes even more fun when they go and they act like Christ. But what I'm trying to say, our testimony is very, very important. Our Christian life needs to be built beyond the foundation, yes, which is Jesus, but we need to allow God to go ahead and take control of our lives and do some building in our lives. We need to take heed how we build that building. God gives us a free will, I mentioned, to serve him or not to serve him. Some will, some won't. And if you do, the result will be a strong building. So when the storm clouds and when the winds of the devil blow, boy, you can stand strong. For others, why do they fall over? Simply because they will not allow the proper things to be built on that building that God needs to build. We need to be careful to pay special attention to, that let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Take heed means to pay special attention to and be fragile, if you will, with the building that is built. Our church right here, we need to be careful what we allow in. I've been very clear about that. We need to be careful about what kind of Bible we're going to preach. The Bible, always. We need to be careful about the kind of music we're going to present. I'm talking about, you know, the music we're going to sing is going to be right from the old hymn book right there. We're not going to go ahead and get these little ditties in here and start rocking and shaking our hips all around. No, that's not what we're going to do. This is not a bar room. It's a church house. And we're going to go ahead and keep it that way. And we need to be very careful as a church. We ought not want God. We ought want to want God's music here and not fleshly music. We ought to want to lift up the King James Bible and not other minor versions, if you will. We ought to just lift up Christ and not the devil. That's not what the church house is all about. We need to understand that we are in the middle of God's building program. We need to lift him up. Our life should reflect Christ and not the world. We need to understand that we are God's. And the Bible, we understand that ye are God's building, the Bible says. And I went ahead and read the verse that glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We read that. We need to be careful what we let inside and not quench the work of the Holy Spirit. You know, when you got saved, the Holy Spirit moved inside you. You know what? He gave you all of him. But did he get all of you? You know, and the truth of the matter is the works, if you will, that we do. Works only comes after salvation, okay? Boy, there ought to be some things. People ought to be able to look at us and say there's something different. But the truth of the matter is the works that we do ought to be reflecting Christ and not the world. The works that we do, hey, Galatians, we talked about it Wednesday nights. You know, the works of the flesh or the fruits of the spirit. We ought to be a fruity Christian. In other words, we ought to be producing the fruit of the, that's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and the whole list goes on. We need to lift up Christ. Your life ought to be a testimony of Christ and not the devil. We need to let God do his work. He is that master builder, and he has a master plan. And that master builder has that master plan written right here. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use my illustration. Everybody see that right there?
You probably didn't know that you're going to come and play games. I'm going
that's not as high as it was. I think through it all, we lost some tiles. But anyways, it's a lot easier and better when it's up here. But the truth of the matter is, let's say, okay, this represents God's building. You. Okay, he's trying to build a work. Okay, and this is, I know it's very elementary, but that's okay. I have an elementary mind, so I have to really come down to my level here. Amen? Okay, but the truth of the matter is right here, if you will, maybe the first couple tiles there, that represents the foundation. That's Jesus. Okay, now God, he wants us to build beyond that, obviously. Okay, we ought to be building beyond that. You know how? Through the word of God, through preaching, through your walk with God, and many, 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 many different things. Now, but what weakens our building? Okay, sin will weaken our building. When we sin, we are destructing that which God wants to build in your life. That which God constructs, wants to construct in your life, we are tearing it down when we sin. When we weaken the building, okay? You want to go ahead and become rebellious? You want to go ahead and become a rebellious teenager, a child against mom and dad? You know, the very building. Yeah, you've got the foundation. If you're saved, you've got the foundation. That'll never be taken away. There's not a sin in this world. I thank God for eternal security. There's not a sin in this world that can go ahead and take me out of the palm of Jesus' hand. But we ought to be building. We ought to allow God to go ahead and build in our life and so that we can become stronger. But when we knowingly decide, hey, I'm going to go against God's will, go against God's plan, I want to be rebellious against mom and dad, I'm going to be rebellious against authority, you know what? You start taking a tile out. You take one tile out, you know what? All of a sudden, that building, that structure becomes weakened. Okay, I'm not a builder, but you know, I know a little bit, you know. And you take a builder, a contractor, you know what, when they draw up the plans, they're very, very careful in how they build. You know, they start from the ground up. And the truth of the matter is, when you go ahead, I mean, if a builder just wanted to be nonchalant, oh, we'll just go ahead and throw this here, throw this here, throw this here, throw, you know what, that building's not going to be very stable. And the reason why we fall is we become unstable. And we need to become strengthened. I'm talking to the church tonight. We need to be strong. We need to become we ought not be a casualty for the cause of Christ. We are, you know, we're the Sunday night crowd, if you will. Okay, we're the ones that we worked in a ministry all morning and so forth. We've been out soul winning primarily on the weekend. We've done some things for God this week. We ought to be the ones that have a little bit of grit to us, a little bit of strength to us. And the truth of the matter is, but when you want to become rebellious, you start weakening the building, the structure that God wants to build. You want to go ahead and listen to the wrong music and all them lyrics that defy God and rebel against God and how about sex, drugs, and all that stuff. You want to go ahead and put that in the ears, in the mind that God gave you, Philippians 2. 5, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. You pollute that mind with that trash. Hey, you know what? you weaken the building. God wants to do something great with you, teenager, child, adult. God wants to do something big with you. But when you want to live your own life and go your own way, hey, you know what? Don't blame the preacher man when he got up and just, hey, was not going to be fearful. As back in Acts, God went ahead and told Paul, hey, don't you be afraid of what you say. You just go ahead and take the stand. And don't you get mad at the preacher or your youth leader or your mom or dad when they try to teach you right and they tell you not to listen to that garbage. Don't you get upset at them. Hey, you know why? You know why I preach this way? Because I love you, and I don't want the devil to have his way with you. I've seen way too many young people. I'm going to stop here. I've seen way too many young people that's gone by the wayside because they want to rebel against the people that invested and loved them. I've seen it. I don't want you to be one of them. I don't want you children to be one of them. I don't want anybody here to be one of them. But when you want to listen, pump that junk in your mind, the mind that God created, you start weakening the building that God wants to build. You want to build on wood, hay, and stubble? Go ahead. But you know what? In the end, it's going to go ahead and be burned up. Only the works, only the deeds that you do for Christ is going to be what stands, the Bible says. You want to put the music in your mind? You want to go ahead and put that Hollywood garbage, the premarital sex, the pornography, the adultery, the fornication, you set that before your eyes and you weaken your bill. Listen, if you can't control that thing, get it out of your house. You say you got TV, not necessarily, but if it controls you more than God controls you, you better get it out. You better get it out, because let me tell you something, that Hollywood, I've seen it firsthand, and if you're not careful, Hollywood will go ahead and tear your home down, the very home that God wants you to build up. And we need to be very careful while we watch. You know what? If you know something's on, you ought to have control of that mute button, that control button. You see a commercial, pop it off until the next whatever you're watching. You ought to have parent. You need to have control. Hey, you know what? Put that before you. You know what? You start weakening the building. I got to get a tile that's going to move. Don't you ruin my illustration. I'll take one from the top. Amen. If you can't control that box, boy, you better get rid of it. Don't let it destroy what God wants to do with you, your marriage, you serving God, your ministry. Don't replace God with TV. Amen. Too often, we'll go ahead and get the TV guide instead of the word out, and we'll structure or schedule our life around what is on TV on Sunday night. Some big sports on, whatever the case may be. Hey, you know, I love sports. I'm glad to know that my teams are winning right now, amen? Amen, you know? No, I'm not against that and so forth, but the truth of the matter is, listen to me, don't you go ahead and replace God and replace church and replace the opening of the church doors because of some sport, because of some amusement, because of something on TV. Hey, get the word of God out and see what God says about it. Hey, by doing that, you start weakening. Oh, come on now. The illustration's not going to help here. There we go. I'm getting one. A little easier when there was more. I said that, but the truth of it, listen to me. You start weakening. You start weakening the building that God wants to construct in you by not reading the Word of God. Boy, you ought to read the Word of God daily. You know, I find it precious. You know, I take time, and of course, you say, well, Pastor, you're paid to do that, but still, but over and above that, you know, I'm obligated to it. We as Christians, we're obligated to do that. And you know what? When we desire not to go ahead and read the Word of God and make it a part of our family and make it a part of our life, the Bible says, Psalm 119, 28, my soul melteth for heaviness. No wonder. No wonder when you have heavy burdens and you've got heaviness in your mind and some burdens that you're carrying. The Bible says, my soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word. Hey, you want to get strength. You want to be renewed. You want the Holy Spirit of God to give you the strength that you need. You need to go ahead and get the strength out of the word of God. The Bible says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You read Psalm 119 through and through and through. That is the Bible chapter. But when we fail to not walk with God, to leave him in his closet, we weaken, if you will, the building that he wants to build. Our vain words weaken the building that God wants to build. And what's happening, preacher? Very slowly, we are breaking down. Very slowly we become weak. Very slowly that when the old wins and the devil will come. And let me tell you something, the devil's got his eye. He says, whoa, look at that once strong Christian, that once strong building. Boy, they were building, they were doing something great for God in their life. But you know what? Some sin set in. Some things set in. Boy, you know what? The devil looks at that and says, boy, he's got a perfect opportunity. And then that's what happens. And that's what happens. And look at that. In Genesis chapter, in the story of Noah, I mentioned it this morning. You know, the Bible says that it repented God that he made man. It grieved him in his heart. Let me ask you something, Christian. Does God want to change your mind that he made you tonight? I got thinking, that humbled me when I was reading that stuff. I said, whoa, I made my share of mistakes. But that really humbled me. You know, he went ahead and he went drastically. He says, you know what, Noah, it hurt me that I made man. You know what, Noah, I want to destroy the earth. I want to wipe it clean. Hey, the very foundation that God had intended, the building that God wanted to create, was broken down because of sin. Boy, America's in trouble. What do you think about it? You say, preacher, yeah, I've got a lot of holes in my building. It wouldn't take much right now for the old devil to go ahead and blow, and I would be destroyed. You say, what do I do? Well, generally speaking, you know, when tornadoes and, you know, I was watching some of the news this week. Tornadoes came through different parts of the country and different things, different places. When Katrina came and different things, you know, of course, it destroyed a lot of buildings. But if you look around after the destruction, then a lot of them buildings, they had the foundation. You can go ahead and let the devil seep into your life and utterly be destroyed. But guess what? Because of Jesus' faithfulness and his love, he says, there's no other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. You know what? You say, preacher, what happens when this happens to my life? Rebuild. Don't quit. You say, well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, I've let the devil go ahead and get a hold of it. My marriage and my life and all this is ruined. You say, preacher, what do I do? Hey, rebuild. Rebuild. Don't quit on God. God can still use you. Maybe he can't use you to the extent that he could, but the truth of the matter is you just rebuild, 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 because the foundation is still there. The foundation is still there. If we're going to go ahead, be a strong church, it's going to be built right here. The foundation. If we're going to go ahead and be what God wants us to be, boy, you know what? Let me tell you something. Let's be prepared when we start doing some things for God. And we are. I've seen it. I believe it anyways. And I'm excited. But you know what? When we see some blessings and stuff, let's be prepared. You know, the old devil, he's going to oppose. Oh, we've seen it. You've seen it. We don't want to see it again, but it will come. You know what? The devil kind of kicks us around a little bit. Maybe we'll lose a tile here and there, but you know what? We're going to patch it up, and we're just going to keep on going. You say, preacher, my life's a wreck. I've been torn down. My building is broken, but the foundation's not. You know what? Just start taking one tile at a time and just start building. And I want my family strong. I really do. That's why, you know, almost every morning, we at least get around the Word of God. We read the Word of God together. It's early in the morning, yeah, but it's important. You know, I want a strong church. I believe that's right. That's godly. But what's it going to do? What's it going to take? It's going to take keeping the Bible first and foremost. keeping Christ first and foremost. I don't know where you are tonight, church. I love you. I want God's best for us. Just like I want God's best for my family. I want God's best for our church. I don't know where you are tonight, but either there's some holes in your building. Why don't you decide tonight, patch them up. Don't let the devil keep having his way. There's nothing more he wants than to go ahead and chew you up. And he knows he can't get your soul if you're saved. But boy, he'd like to do anything he can to destroy you and make your life displeasing to God. Why don't you tonight, to go ahead, you just decide, you know what? Maybe you're broken down. Hey, rebuild tonight. Maybe there's some holes in your life. You know, you've got to that point where you've arrived, perhaps, but the devil's kind of picking and picking and picking and picking. Why don't you decide, you know what? We're gonna fill that back up with the things of God. Maybe you're building strong. Why don't you decide, you know what? Tonight, I'm going to keep it strong. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, I love you. God, I've tried to just give something simple, very simple. We need to take heed how we build thereupon. We need to allow proper influences in our life. I pray, dear God, that every child, every teenager, every adult, every worker, everyone, every family will go ahead and take heed how we build thereupon. Because the devil surely wants to destroy us. But I pray, God, that we'll just let go and let you have your way in our life. Help us to be what you want us to be. Help us to become what you want us to become. Not what the world wants. I pray, God, that you'd bless. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Let's stand to our feet. I don't know. Don't worry about the tiles down here. But if you need to make a decision tonight, why don't you decide? The music's going to play right now. The music's going to play. But LaShawn's turning it on. I don't know what he's dealt with tonight. But why don't you, hey, teenager, why don't you move? You know, you're a perfect target for the old devil. What are you going to do? Let him go ahead and have his way? Don't let him. I don't know where you are, church member. I don't know where you are, family. But why don't you decide? You know what? Tonight, I'm not going to let that happen. I'm not going to get destroyed. Don't worry about who's beside you. You know, you make that decision. It's only between you and God now. Why don't you decide, you know what? I'm not going to go ahead and let the devil have his way. Let every man, it doesn't say everybody, every man, you are accountable for yourself. Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon.